There you go.
So, I mean, is it too much trouble for the people who run the power plants to wrap their pipes? I mean, doesn't Bob French tell us to do that all the time?
Yeah, wrap your pets and bring in your pipes.
Did they bring their pets in there at the power plants?
There's probably dead pets and frozen plants around there.
Yeah,
too, so.
I can't imagine. Thank goodness Senator David Dewhurst was there to help us out.
I heard him.
Senator Dewhurst.
Yeah.
I think he wants us to just go ahead and say that now. If we just go ahead and do that up front now.
Get it out of the way. We'll get used to saying it.
Exactly. Just let it roll off your tongue, and then that way you don't have to worry about that little election thing that's going to happen down the road.
Well, it's fewer words than Lieutenant Governor.
It is. But by golly, he was looking for any microphone with a windsock that he could find yesterday to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever the head of ERCOT is has got to be cowering in the corner of his office this morning. I'm not here. If the senator calls, I'm not here.
I love ERCOT. They got that big globe with Mickey standing on it there.
That's a great place to go. Actually, it's really not. It sucks. But,
And you know, this is just, I'm sure people, you know, all those gridsters will sit around and talk about that winter of 11. Now, we found out that we needed to wrap up our pipes so that the power, what happened, folks, and in case you didn't hear, that the water pipes busted at some power plants, not the least of which was this one up here near
Franklin. Oak Grove.
Yeah, the one that you can see from the road. And so when plants go offline because of stuff like busted water pipes, then that does endanger the grid when, in fact, our usage wasn't the problem. It was the fact that we couldn't get some of these plants up online, and, you know, there we go.
Which would explain then why because the complaint that I heard over and over yesterday from people that I talked to was, how did they not know? How was there not more advance warning? How did this not come down until 6 o'clock? Well, if people didn't realize that the pipes were busted until 5 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that if demand is not the problem, it's extenuating circumstances. At least that explains the reason for the brownouts in very short order.
Yeah, how it happened so suddenly, we didn't know about that. And obviously knowing that is good because it means we have capacity ability out there. It's just a matter of stuff that we have to do. And it did. It caught everybody by surprise.
Well, we were out for maybe 20 minutes here at the station. And I know some people were out for a lot longer, and I feel for them. We were out for only about 20 minutes here, and hats off to College Station Utilities and BTU and everybody for keeping everybody posted. We got advance notification of the ballpark time that we were going to be shut down here, and appreciate that.
Yeah, that part of the system seemed to work when they had to.
Well, the communications folks got out in front of it.
Yeah.
They got out in front of it. I mean, yesterday Twitter was invaluable, because they were tweeting what neighborhoods were going to be hit next. And so, you know, it's one of those situations where if you have to get a small amount of information out to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, that's what Twitter is great for.
Yeah. Hello.
Considering the radio station's a pretty valuable source of information for the area, do y'all have a battery or other backup power?
Yes, we do. And in fact, when we were out here at the station yesterday, of course, we were out twice. And the first time when we were out yesterday morning, what happened was our generators did not kick in at the transmitter site. We have generators here, and we have generators at the transmitter site to allow for situations such as this. Sadly, the generator at the transmitter site did not kick in, and that's how we knew we were off the air yesterday. And, of course, you know, the irony was not lost that I was talking about brownouts at the moment.
Yeah,
you know, so,
that hit.
But, you know, Dusty called me to let me know. And for our purposes, and this is the changing face of radio, what happens then is it was still business as usual for us.
Right.
We had to continue on because we were still streaming. And so even if there's only 19 people that are streaming the radio station at that point in time, they don't know that we're off the air.
Sure.
And so we continued on. Now, the good news is, and I'm glad the caller brought that up, is and hats off internally to Chris Dusterhoff and Andrew Hicks. Andrew Hicks got up here yesterday, made sure our generators were in working order well before we ever lost power. And we lost power, and immediately the generators kicked in. In fact, they were already running. He started them up just to let them run. And our listeners never knew. And yeah. that happened, and they would have known because it was during the first half. It would have been during the opening monologue of Rush yesterday at 11 o'clock. So we would have had a lot of people that were very unhappy.
And what we'll do for our part is we'll have a contingency plan in place where we'll check our transmitter generators in a situation that we'll be able to make sure that they do their job at the right time. That just was one of those things that happened. We responded as quickly as we could, as Chase said. And again, more and more people listening on their wireless devices or listening in their offices. So we know that I think we had 22 people listening, not 19.
Really? Okay. Yeah, well, good. It was a good day then.
Nonetheless, that and then, of course.
Actually, it's a lot more than that.
Yeah,
so.
We are. And then we're archived. If you have to just go back and you have to hear everything we say, and I know for those two people out there, then we do. But anyway, so I'm glad the senator brought all that up so that we'd know. And
stop.
Okay. Lesson learned, I guess, is
we hope.
We think so.
We really hope.
Yeah. Because.
Well, at least it wasn't a squirrel that crawled in there or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, we wouldn't want the grid to go down because some crow landed on a
wire
someplace, and then we'd have cooked crow. So.
You have to eat it.
Yeah, I think we'd eat it. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I don't know.
We do every day.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. That's true. So remember that START nuclear disarmament treaty that everybody was kicking about? It was signed yesterday. Heard a lot about that, didn't you? Heard a lot about that.
I was hearing about Anderson Cooper getting hit 10 times.
See, and that's all you're going to hear about because it happened to somebody on television.
Somebody in the media. Yeah, Christiane Amanpour was scared to death because the windshield broke in the car that she was riding in. And, we're all going to die and all that stuff. Anyway.
Tucker and I were having this discussion this morning because he was playing some of the audio from Anderson Cooper. And two things. Number one.
Did he squeal like a girl?
No, you just hear him say, calm down, calm down, calm down. Right. And then you just, you just hear the beatdown commence.
Cool.
Two things. They were talking to a producer who uttered the phrase, I mean, and this is just astounding. You want to talk about the arrogance of some people. He uttered the phrase, I don't know if they didn't know we were from CNN. You know what, young man, old man, whoever you are, I know it was a male voice that sounded about my age, you know, give or take 10 years perhaps, because I just heard the audio. They don't care who you are. All they know is they see an American, and they see a camera, and they see an opportunity to get their message out.
Yeah.
And they protest differently over there.
Yes, they do.
And that's the other thing. That's the second thing. And Tucker brought this up. Really kind of puts the whole Tea Party thing into perspective when you think about it. You know, there's all this concern about rhetoric getting out of hand. And thankfully that has cooled off since everyone absolutely went to the, you know, jumped to the worst possible and wrong conclusion on the Gabrielle Giffords shooting. The rhetoric can be bad here, but when we call bad rhetoric when we start calling each other smart alecky names and things like that, when we make an angry blog post or something, when we talk anonymously online, that's the vitriol and that's the hatred and things like that. You know what? Over there, they kill people and they assault people. So get over yourself.
Yeah. Well, and they see no way for it to be better in the future.
Well, I mean, and that's just it. You know, if you do a little bit of homework, you find out that it's not just this. It's not the xenophobic way of looking at it, perhaps, is to say, well, that's just those people and that's how they are. No, they are economically destitute.
Yeah. We have an underpinning of knowing that in the grand scheme of things, we can be okay.
Sure.
They don't necessarily know that.
No, they don't know that their situation will ever improve. And it's not a bleeding heart thing. And I'm certainly not excusing violence of any kind. It's just the reality of their circumstances. And you have to, as much as possible, put yourself in their shoes and say, okay, if you woke up today and someone came in and took your home, and there were threats to your family, and you had no guarantees that tomorrow or Saturday or next week or next year that any of those situations would improve. How would your world change? Yeah. How would your worldview change?
It's very hard. We can lay that scenario out, but it's very hard for any of us to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as you say, when you see a vehicle to get your message out,
sure,
then understand it's going to be a lightning rod. So yesterday, Bill Daley, he'd be the new, on a lighter subject.
The staff chief.
He'd be the new chief
staff. I thought he was the lead singer of the Comets.
Yeah, them too. He was talking about how his style is a little bit different from Rahm Emanuel's.
Yeah.
He said, everybody gets advice from Ron. It's amazing. Rahm very much needed to do it all, and I don't have such a need.
Well, good.
Wow, that's pretty much throwing Rahm under the bus,
isn't
it?
It is. Just kind of hosing him down a little bit.
I mean,
so,
in terms of on-camera rhetoric.
All you department heads in Chicago, get ready for that hands-on mayor type guy.
Make for a fun city council meeting.
I would think so. I heard James Baker yesterday on television, and the last question had to do with the visit that he had had with Daley. And he said, well, said I was in D.C., and since I was in that office, chief of staff, for a couple of years, I went over there and talked to him. I said, congratulations, buddy. You've got the worst job in D.C. because you have to catch all the javelins that are headed for the old man. And if you miss one, they'll take you down. I thought that pretty well summed up what the chief of staff has to do.
Mm-hmm.
Catch all the javelins that are headed for the old man. And if you don't, they'll take you down.
Calling Obama an old man.
Well, yeah. I think the old man basically. Just,
the office of the old man.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, make sure the old man is okay. But I thought that was probably pretty unvarnished. And,
yeah.
And he probably said some words a little more colorful than that.
And again, like him or not, that's another one of those autobiographies that might be pretty interesting to read.
Yeah,
so.
he's
an unauthorized biography, probably more interesting to read.
But. He is the fixer. If your name is Bush, he was the fixer, that's for sure. All right, it's 10 till.